There's no reason why that couldn't be your story.
You don't have an expiration date.
Oh, I love that. This is the Authors and Agents Podcast.
Alrighty, Emily and Austin, I'm so excited to have you guys here with me to chat about yourselves and your book. So first off, could you tell me about your latest release, The Breakup Tour, that just came out in January?
Yeah, we're so excited to be here.
Thanks you for having us.
Of course.
Austin, do the pitch.
Very excited. So The Breakup Tour centers on a worldwide superstar singer who is launching her newest albums, all breakup songs, and who goes on tour with who inspired her greatest hit. It's a very musical story. It's our second chance romance that takes place on concert stages.
I love it. I've seen a lot of people like raving about it in a Taylor Swift kind of love. Is there some Taylor Swift love going on in there?
There's definitely some Taylor Swift love. You know, we wrote it like before Midnights was announced, like before the Eras Tour was even a thing. But it is funny how those things kind of all happened at the same time. And of course, we are huge Taylor Swift fans, and so we couldn't help but some of our favorite,
absolutely,
you know, homage to her.
It's you know, the idea of you know, she has these incredible songs, romantic breakup songs, and we wondered what it would be like to be just an ordinary anonymous person on the other end.
Oh, sorry, you cut out a little bit.
Oh,
now. No, you're good. I can hear you now.
Okay, great.
Well, I think it's so exciting. I've loved ever since I've seen the cover. I just thought it was beautiful. It's so such an exciting release for you guys. So this was your third adult romance release. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you had a numerous, you know, amount of YA releases as well. So tell me a little bit about your journey through publishing to this point.
Yeah, we started in YA, and we wrote YA rom-coms that were always a little bit more like other YA. So it's like the characters are like seniors. There's, you know, more, they feel more adult than something like there's younger YA and adult. So we would love YA so much. We were our high school sweethearts ourselves.
So that was a big part of the inspiration there. That's why we started there. Yeah. Is at the time we started co-writing, that was narratively closer to our own life. That was the kind of relationship we very recently remember having and felt that we could put on the page more authentically. Then, of course, as it always does, time went by and we, you know, started to experience other parts of life and have friends experiencing other parts of life. And as this was happening, we became more and more interested in the then booming contemporary romance, you know, adult market and reading, you know, Beach Read and the Bromance Book Club and a lot of these incredible sort of iconic stories in that genre.
Yeah.
And so we began to kind of work in both lanes and see what it was like writing adult romance. Yeah. And we found it totally had its own challenges, its own rewards. It was really creatively exciting in its own
ways. In a lot of ways, it was a little similar to the YA we wrote, which was already kind of romance-based, just like no steam, just, you know, more YA. But they still were falling in love and pretty much adults, 17, 18 year olds. So it felt like we were able to take a lot of the stuff we loved about YA and then bring in all these new components that we were excited to try out for the first time.
And it's been really great. It's been really creatively invigorating to get to kind of gear shift from one to the other, you know, with the months and with the years.
That's awesome. It's so exciting. And you know, so unique that you guys get to do it together. I love that. I mean, I don't know that I could write a book with my spouse, so you guys, really high praise.
It's not easy for us either.
Well, at least it's not like, I mean, it makes me feel a little better. It's not like just the easiest thing in the world, I guess.
No. It is.
It's tough. Yeah. The benefits far outweigh the difficulties, which is why we do it. Is we, you know, it's really an amazing thing to share both, you know, in an emotional and existential sense, which it really is to have this shared preoccupation and, get to share the triumphs and comfort each other through the lows. But also, you know, creatively, technically, we both, we realized that we have very complementary skills and views on the creative process. We have, you know, similar taste and similar things we care about in stories, but each of us is a little bit better and more attuned to executing some parts than others. And so when we work together, it's really valuable. It really allows us to get a best of both worlds, best of two brains type experience.
And it's nice in that it allows us, like, our writing doesn't take us away from each other.
Right.
It brings us together, which is really nice. But of course, like, there is a lot of conflict that comes with work and writing in particular. So, like, the 90% of the conflicts in our marriage are about writing.
We take it as it comes.
Yeah.
Yes, which you have to, right? Well, yes. It's just, you know, exciting. I love that, that it brings you together and that you're able to do it together, because it is such a solitary, normally, right? Such a solitary thing. So to be able to do it together is great. So looking back on your journey, the start of your journey, you know, querying, signing, all of that, which, you know, I'm sure has been a while for you guys, right? But which is a good thing, that's fine. But looking back, you know, what would your maybe like top query advice be for authors, you know, with your knowledge that you have now?
You know, we had an interesting query experience, because we queried a book that we got an R&R from an agent, so a revise and resubmit.
Yes.
And we like threw ourselves into this. It was like the first time we got like any kind of like somebody wants to talk to us. And like before that, we had just been getting passes or full requests that then they never reply to again. And so when we got this revise and resubmit, we were like, okay, we're gonna like do a really good job. And we did it. And it just was a really slow and long process of like, we turned in a revision, and then this agent would like sit on it for 3 months and then look at it and then ask for more revisions.
Oh,
and
no.
So we like kept doing all of that because we were like, okay, well, like we have this like on the line. We don't want to just give it up.
Right.
Right.
But we, it, in those long pauses, we wrote another book because we were just like, we can't pin it. This, we were not confident in this person. Like, wanting to work with us, because it's like, okay, it's been like 6 months at this point, do you want to do this or not? And so we wrote this other book that then we queried, and that ended up being our debut. So I like, our advice is kind of like, you know, it's definitely good to like take every opportunity you have, like if you have an R&R and you don't hate the suggested edits, like but don't like, don't pin everything on that. Keep doing other things. Like, keep moving. Yeah. Like, write something else. Like, do it. Don't like sacrifice everything just for that one thing, because we would just spend 2 weeks and then we would go back to our other project.
Yeah. Just write, finish stuff, but then move on to something else exciting. You know, as far as writing query letters, I read a ton of them. You can find a ton of them on the internet and just read them. What I did, just read a bunch of them all in one go and then write yours as fast as possible. You know your story better than anybody else. And I find that if you get a little bit too deep and you try to tinker with every sentence, it gets turned around and backed up and hard to read. So just read a bunch of really good query letters and then just sit down and knock yours out in a few paragraphs. And you'll probably get the cleanest, best pitch.
I think that's great. That's both of those pieces of advice are so wonderful. I think it is so important in the querying process to distract yourself with other things. Like you guys, such great advice to not like hang all your hopes on one agent, but also to continue writing other things. Like that was always helpful to me, to be like, okay, I'm querying this, but now that means I get to go work on something else.
Because you have to emotionally, I remember like just like getting a pass and being like, I just lay down and turn the lights off and like not do anything. But it's good to have something else to work on, hold on to. And that ended up being our debut, you know,
right, like that other book.
That other book became the book.
Yeah. And that is also great advice, Austin, to read a bunch of query letters or, you know, read a bunch of books that you love and the cover copy and then sit down and do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is great advice. So my next question, I'd love to know what you guys hope readers will take away from the breakup tour.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So without giving away too much, the breakup tour centers on two characters who kind of interrogate their dreams and their reasons for having those dreams And by the end of the story, they have more developed viewpoints on those dreams, but they haven't walked away from them. It isn't about people who realize that they were living their life wrong and they need to make a big change and turn around. Right. And so it's sort of a love letter to the idea of looking at your choices and your creative process, as well as sort of your existential outlook, and not being afraid to question it, but also not being afraid to accept who you are instead of some distant, shiny version of who you think you should be.
Yeah, that your relationship with whatever your passion is, it can look different. For our female main character, Riley, music is everything to her. It is her career. It is what she wants to do forever. For our male main character, Max, he loves music, but it's not his career. And at the end, you know, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it just, the conflict, like, you can still love something and not have it be like what you are, like, getting the paycheck for, you know. You can have many interests.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I love, you know, I love that about romance novels, that it's about the love, it's about the story, them falling in love, and like, we know what's going to happen, right? But it they can be about so much more, and we can still get, you know, other things out of it. So I love that. So I'd love to know, when you guys are just reading for pleasure, who are some of your favorite authors to read?
Okay, well, one is our very dear friend, Bridget Morrissey. And she's this, the best. We really are a huge fan of her books. And if we did also write a book with her that is coming out next year, but the reason we wrote a book with her is because we're such big fans of her work, her adult romances. Her last one was That Summer Feeling, which is a sapphic summer camp story, romance. It's fantastic.
It's terrific. She's really the best.
All of her books. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to look at my bookshelves behind me.
Do it. Look.
I don't want to miss people. We love the Romance Book Club series. That has been a huge inspiration for us. When we started writing, we read all of that. And in YA, you know, we've gotten into a little bit of a pivot because we're now writing a heist story. So we're huge fans of the Inheritance Games and all of the
giant fans.
Those books are so good. Yeah. She's wonderful.
Good. Yeah.
Well, that is exciting. It sounds like you guys have got some exciting projects coming up too. That would be so fun.
Really looking forward.
Yes. So another advice question. So looking back on, you know, your guys's journey and just being, you know, like a new author, a little baby author, what would your advice be to aspiring authors, you know, who are maybe, you know, just starting out and or maybe in the querying process like you guys were and maybe feeling a little dejected? What would you say to them?
I mean, the biggest thing touches on what Emily said in re-querying, generally speaking. Our biggest proponent is finish the projects you're working on, really, really do your best to take them to term and knock them out of the park, and then move on to something else. Don't endlessly tinker and cycle around. Don't pin all your hopes on one thing, because who knows what could be the thing, you know, that becomes a real sensation, that becomes something really special. And so keep putting material down so that you have it and it's tangible and real and you can do something with it. And then move on to something else, you know, get excited about something new. You'll be buttressed against disappointment and having, you know, too volatile high and low in your hopes. And your own compass might lead you wandering into something really special. That's always been how we've pursued our process. And it has led us to a lot of really great places.
And more like a, you know, career standpoint of like our looking back, it's kind of like you have to be willing to pivot and to stay alive in this industry. But you have to know when to pivot, because it's like you want to build a brand. So you can't just like every book is like something different, but you don't want to just get stuck unless you like have an amazing experience and you're like, you know, the big bestseller, like, and then you can write that forever and everyone will be happy. But otherwise for mid-list authors, you want to deliver a brand and then be willing to, you know, follow what you like, new areas that are, you know, getting bigger, and like we jumped to adult romance because it was getting really big at a time that like YA was a little bit contracting, and like now we have this fantasy that we're writing next with Bridget, and that's like our, we're like looking to like build other avenues so that in case market fluctuations happen.
Yeah,
ready.
Stay restless and follow what is exciting to you,
yeah,
rather than just what you've done before.
I like that. Stay restless. Follow what's exciting. That's great advice. Thank you, guys. So my next question, I feel like you guys have already answered for me a little bit, but it sounds like you guys are genre hopping, which is great. You're pivoting, right? That's another good way to put it. So you're a little bit into a heist, a little bit into fantasy. Is there anything else if you were to try writing something completely different that you would want to try?
At this point, we say, like, never say never.
Right, never say never. Right?
You know, we love to read. The thing is, we love to read all genres. Like, it's not like.
That's great.
I'm like, you know, like, I love sci-fi. I love thrillers. So, who knows? It would be great to write those at some point. But it would also, you know, we love the genres we are writing. And we hope that we get to continue. But we also feel that we bring, like, a. Even though all these books are in different genres, it's very much still like there's always like a love story at the center of it.
Sense of
humor.
There's
always like a sense of humor. There's always like like very character driven stories. So like they're not just like completely divorced from each other, but we are making sure that we get to keep it exciting for ourselves.
Yeah. You know, with that in mind, we'd love to try everything, honestly, and you know, and bring those things that we love to do in our storytelling to bear in all of them, because it's true. And what we watch and what we read, we love things in all genres that are high concept and fun and have a quick pace to them
and a romance.
Yeah, romance and a real sense of art. And so, who knows where that might lead us?
Well, I'm excited to see that. So my next question is a two-parter. So when you're thinking about the actual act of writing, drafting, editing, you know, what's the thing that you guys love the most? And then what is the most challenging part of that?
I think we have different answers.
Maybe.
Well, let's share.
We have different answers?
Well, it's always great to come up with a great idea together.
Yeah.
When the inspiration, you know, really collides and both of us are able to kind of bring a special piece to something that we're developing, that can be really, really cool. That's, you know, always been sort of a mutual favorite. Apart from that though, yeah, we totally have different answers. I prefer stuff that has much more to do with the prose and the poetry and with stuff that's already on the page, editing, refining, shaping, translating. I do a lot better with that, and I have a lot of harder of a time with sort of more independently generative structural stuff.
Whereas I'm the complete opposite. I really truly hate revising. It's really hard. It just feels like there's this knot that's like really hard to untangle, and I'm like, I move this, and then where does it go? And just remove it, and does that work? That's really hard for me, and that's something that he is really good at, which is handy because we just got edits yesterday on a book, so I'm just like,
time to put on my gloves.
There you go, Austin. There you go.
I am much more. I like to write a synopsis. You know, lots of writers out there hate doing the synopsis. I love it. That I am willing to write a 10-page, a 20-page. A 5-page synopsis at any time. I think that's really fun and exciting to like discover the story.
You, I am not that writer.
It is a gift.
But it is a gift. And the fact that you love it, man, hold on to that. Because you're right.
I don't want to revise.
You know what? Like we were talking about earlier, though, it's great that you guys have different favorite parts, because then here you go. You get to split up the work a little bit.
Yeah. Big part of why we do this is we kind of realize this and we're like, dang, this is great.
Yeah, that is great. That's so funny. So looking over your whole journey, who has been like your biggest supporters?
Oh, absolutely our agent. When we signed, we have had the same agent since our very first.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's great.
That was such a stressful decision. We were wondering like, is this going to be the kind of agent that like wants to invest in us as a career? Yeah. Like what happens if a book doesn't sell? Like what we were, I was so stressed about that. And I wish I could go back and be like, no, you're picking
the absolute right one.
She is going to stand by you. So our agent is Katie Shea Boulier, and
she's terrific.
Has been with us we have gotten, you know, doors slammed in our face, and
yep.
Katie was
ups
like,
and downs.
I'm not giving up. Like, this is, for instance, with our latest YA book, like, it was the one who was like, I'm not going to give up. And because she didn't give up, we got like a dream offer, and it is like beyond like what we could have ever imagined. And so we're very loyal to her. And
that's awesome.
She's willing to go with like all the weird pivots we throw at her.
Right.
Like,
she's just excited, you know, eager to see what we're thinking about next. So that's been huge. And, you know, I wish I could say it's something we, you know, calculated with foresight that's possible to be developed, and it really isn't. We just got incredibly lucky. We just made the right choice, and it has remained the right choice.
Other than that, each other,
yeah.
Of course, it's very
course.
Helpful,
yes.
And you know, there's a lot of highs and lows, and we share all of those together. And I don't know how people do it on their own, because there is so much rejection, and you need someone to say, don't worry about that. I think that what you do is great. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't work with you if I didn't think it was great. So
I think what you do is great.
I think what you do is great.
Oh, you guys, stop it. I love it. I mean, I think it's like such a, not, I don't want to say unique, because I know people have their agents for really long times, but I've heard so many stories and know friends who have signed with agents and then parted ways and had to go back into the querying trenches. So that you have that loyal, you know, relationship with your agent is so wonderful. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's lovely. So I just have a couple questions left for you guys.
Sure.
I'd love to know about your writing fuel. So what are your favorite snacks, drinks?
Oh, yeah.
What do you guys need to munch on when you're writing?
I mean, mine is quite simple and pretty stereotypical, but it's cold brew coffee. I'm a big coffee person. Emily said it has called it my thinking juice on occasion, and that's not really an exaggeration. I really kind of need that flowing through my brain and my veins. And fortunately, I love coffee, so works
perfect.
Out great.
I hate coffee, so that is like one of our huge differences. I hate it.
Big difference.
For me, I tend to like need a little pick me up of some like sugar, so I'll get some gummy bears or a Girl Scout cookie.
We always have gummy.
Perfect.
Yeah, just need just like a little bit, just to be like, okay, if I do a little bit more, then I can have my like 5 gummy bears.
That's the perfect amount of gummy bears. One of my kids got one of those like huge bags of gummy bears.
Oh,
I don't know
yeah.
what my family members keep giving them huge bags of candy. I'm like, what are you thinking, first of all? But it's actually perfect to go in and grab a handful of gummy bears. It's like
that's
a perfect little snack.
Yeah.
Well, lovely. We all got to have something that fuels us. Coffee, sugar, beautiful. I love it. So my last question sounds kind of hard, but it is not. I'd love to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not of all time, not the best book ever, just something you've read recently that you're like, that was so good, other people should know about it.
This book is coming out in June or in July, and we got to blurb it, and it has been a real favorite of ours. It's called The Villain Edit, and it is by Laurie DeVore, and it is like a bachelor-like show. A woman who on that show realizes that she is getting the villain edit, and there is some intrigue with a cameraman, and like it's very like angsty, a little bit like tortured, and it's just the voice is so great, and it was such a page turner. So I'm really excited for that book to come out and for everyone to read it.
That's awesome.
We would also cheer for Gretchen Schreiber's Ellie Haycock is Totally Normal. It is her YA debut. It's pitched as Breakfast Club in a hospital and informed by a lot of Gretchen's own teenage experiences. And it's just very special. It's you know, it's very wonderfully written, very from the heart. And
that just came out.
Yeah,
so
it's you
timing.
you can grab that one now.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys for, you know, sharing that with me, for letting me pick your brain and hearing more about you. I'm, you know, so thankful to get to know you guys. I've read a few of your YA romances, so good on my shelf. I see one behind you guys on my shelf too. But I'm so excited for you guys. So everyone make sure to go and pick up the Breakup Tour and then watch for all the other things that they've got coming to for us. It's so exciting.